We are still talking about communication, how we talk. And we're looking at lessons on communication from the life of Jesus. And so each time we're kind of looking at a passage of Scripture and saying, well, how did Jesus communicate in this situation? And what can we learn about communication from that? So far, we have talked about, this thing is going so, say what you mean, right? We need to say what we mean, right? Exactly. We've talked about praise the praiseworthy. People need to know when they've done something right, and we need to praise them for it. We talked about speaking with clarity, right? Being clear in our communication. And then last week we talked about being children of God. What does that mean? Why our status as children matters and what it means for family relationships. So those are the topics we've covered. We have a new one tonight, but first let's pray. Father, I thank you so very much for who you are. I thank you for the privilege that we have as believers in Jesus Christ to gather together. I thank you, Father, for the freedom that we have in the United States to gather together openly and to teach your word clearly and accurately without fear of arrest or imprisonment. And Father, there are those around our world that do not have that freedom. And so we pray, Father, one, that we would never take our freedom for granted, and two, that you would protect and preserve our brothers and sisters in Christ who are meeting in defiance often of their government. Father, we ask that you would guide and direct our conversation tonight, that we would have a wonderful time of fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Communication. Does it ever feel to you like communication is an impossible task? You say one thing, they hear another thing, they react to what they thought you said, and then you react to their reaction, and it just gets crazy from there, right?
Hearing aids.
Yeah, hearing aids just make the whole problem so much better, right?
You say goodbye and I say hello.
Yeah, yeah. That's why you say aloha, it's both. As followers of Jesus, we understand intellectually that God's word has the answers for everything, right? We give mental assent to the idea that everything we need to navigate life is given to us in the word of God. The problem is that we still tend to act accordingly to our fleshly nature and habits instead of how the Word of God directs us to. When we are in the middle of a conflict, it is difficult to stop and to think biblically. Instead, we often react according to our fleshly nature. And one of the most difficult things to do in life and in life in general and in communication in particular is to listen well. And so that is our topic for tonight. Listen well to others. Listen well to others. And I put this picture together because here you have someone holding their ear like, what'd you say? And the person has a megaphone, right? So oftentimes it's not that we don't hear what is said, it's that we don't listen to what is said, right? And so that's what we're going to look at. We're going to be in Matthew, but first, we're going to go to Jonah, because we're going to give an example of someone who did not stop and think biblically. Jonah chapter 1, towards the end of the Old Testament. It's one of those ones that, depending on the size of your Bible, you skip right over like I just did. There it is. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. It's right before the New Testament.
Right before
Matthew. Yeah. So Jonah, and first we're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So God says to Jonah, you're going to go to Nineveh. Jonah says, nope. And he goes literally the geographic opposite direction of Nineveh, right? So we know the story, right? His ship gets caught in a severe storm. The sailors cast lots. They find out Jonah's to blame. He says, throw me overboard. They say no. Eventually, they do throw him overboard. And God prepares a fish to swallow him. This is a Johnism, but I've always wondered if the sailors saw the whale swallow Jonah. Can you imagine if they did? I don't know. Anyways, so he's swallowed by the whale. 3 days later, he's spit out. He goes to Nineveh. He preaches repentance. And they repent, and God does not destroy them. So now go to chapter 4, verse 2, where we see Jonah's response. Chapter 4, verse 2. So he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. So Jonah didn't listen to God. Now he knew some truth about God. He knew that God was gracious and loving and merciful. What he did not seem to comprehend was the discipline of God. What would happen, and he went the other direction. So Jonah didn't listen to God. He reacted in his flesh, and instead of thinking biblically about who Scripture reveals God to be, he went the opposite direction. And there's this whole process that Jonah had to go through in order to eventually do what God had commanded him to do. And we just think to ourselves, you know, if Jonah would have listened, we wouldn't have had this whole problem. Right? This whole mess that Jonah created. And so, what he gives to us here is a huge key to communication. And that is that we need to stop to listen and think before responding. Stop to listen and think before responding. What we're going to look at tonight is five principles that help us to listen. Well, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 to 31. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 27. If we are going to listen well to others, they need to be able to say something to us. I hope that makes sense. This means we need to be approachable. Right? They need to know that they can come and ask us about anything. So our first principle is that approachability is a must. Approachability is a must. Look at verses 27 and the beginning of verse 28 in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. Here is an obvious fact, but I think it needs to be stated, and that is that we cannot listen well to people if they are not talking. Everyone with me, okay? We can't listen well to people if they're not talking, and people will not talk if we are not approachable, okay? Consider what happens here. Jesus is followed by these blind men. Not only that, they're continually crying out to him, Son of David, have mercy on us. Then they follow Jesus into the house that he's staying at. Now, I don't know about you, but some of us would probably get a little annoyed at this point. Right? These guys have been following him, they've been crying out to him, and then they come into the house where he's staying. Some may even accuse them of nagging. But here's what I see as I look at this. They must have understood that Jesus was safe. Jesus was someone they could talk to. Jesus was someone who cared, who would help them. And so this leads us to ask this question of ourselves. Am I approachable? Am I approachable? Are we approachable? Do our spouses, our children, our friends feel comfortable coming to us with disagreements or potential conflicts? How many of you want your children to come to you when they have a problem? Would you raise your hand? Good. Pretty much all of you. If that is something that we want, we have to be very careful in how we react when they come to us. Right? All it takes is one wrong response. The door slams shut. Right? If all it takes is one wrong response and they're not going to bring stuff to us, right? We have to be careful how we respond. So I'm going to be vulnerable with you because this is something that I struggle with, right? So sometimes Jess will come to me and she'll ask me to do something, right? And I may say okay, but I say it in such a way that it's very clear I don't really want to do it, right? It might sound something like this, okay.
Yeah.
Right? And we all know what that means. Well, I don't really want to, but I guess I'll do it anyway, right? Or I may answer a question and my tone implies, well, you should have known this, right?
Yeah.
Now, all of us know that when we do that, it doesn't lead the conversation anywhere good, right? And yet we still do it, right? And so I'm learning to be careful with my responses because what I have discovered over the last several years is it was getting to the point where she didn't want to bring something to me. She didn't want to ask me a question because she was afraid of how I was going to respond. That's not okay, right? And so I'm learning to respond better, right? As all of us need to do. And so we don't want to live in this place where people don't feel like they can approach us, okay? Because failure to be approachable pushes others away. Failure to be approachable pushes others away. If you want to have a good relationship with your spouse, with your children, with your friends, we have to be careful how we respond. Approachability is a must. Comments or questions? Not yet. Okay, we'll get there. Principle number two. Okay, so be approachable. Principle number two. Hear the heart. Hear the heart. The end of verse 28. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 28, when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I am able to do this? Now, what this tells us is that Jesus wasn't just listening to the words that they said. He was listening to the cry of their heart. Why do I say that? Because what did they say? What they said was, Son of David, have mercy on us. They didn't say, would you fix our eyes, please? Right? But Jesus knew what they meant when they said, Son of David, have mercy on us. He heard the cry of their heart. They say, have mercy. They mean, heal us. Right? And Jesus understands that. This is how we listen well. Now, if we look at the lessons we've already learned, we're going to say, but shouldn't they say what they mean? Yes, they should. Shouldn't they speak with clarity? Absolutely. But how many of us have experienced the fact that people don't say what they mean and they don't speak with clarity, right? So we have to listen well. And part of that is hearing the cry of their heart. What's going on inside? What are they bringing to us and what are they really wanting? Our youngest will sometimes come to me and say, Daddy, can you just hold me? I love that. I know exactly what he wants, right? He wants to be held. That's great. That's wonderful. Other times, others of our children will say, Daddy, can we play this game? And what they're asking is, can I spend time with you? And if I'm not listening well, what I hear is the 10,000th time that they're asking me to play this game, and I'm like, oh, I don't have time to do that, right? Because I'm not hearing the cry of their heart. Because the cry of their heart is, I want your attention. I want you to spend time with me. Right?
Only sometimes.
Only sometimes. So, wives, when your husband says to you, you want to go to the store with me? Or do you want to help me with this project? What they're wanting is you to spend time with them. Side by side, shoulder to shoulder. They need that as men. Husbands, when she asks you to do something, it isn't because she can't stand the thought of you sitting on your rear end doing nothing. That's not what it is. Okay? What it is you're her important person. And she brings things to you because she wants to feel cared for, taken care of, loved, protected, safe. All those things are part of that request. Okay? So don't hear, I can't handle you just sitting idle. Hear the cry of the heart. Okay? Parents, your kids need your time, attention, and affirmation no matter their age. Friends, every human being needs connection and interaction. And so listen to the cry of their heart. Because hearing, listening well requires that we hear the cry of the heart. And hearing a heart requires work. And patience. Work and patience. All right, questions, examples, anything?
Well, I appreciate you being truthful with us, because I think in some other churches, certainly not this one, that you get the idea the pastor thinks he has it all together.
Not even close.
Yeah.
I'm teaching on the things that I need to learn so I have an excuse to study them.
Smart.
Smart Alec, is that what I heard?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we want to hear the heart, right? That's how we listen well. So we need to be approachable. Can the important people in our lives, do they know that they can come to us with anything? They should. Do we hear their heart when they come to us? Or do we kind of push them away? Okay? Principle number three. Address the need. Address the need. Verse 29 and the beginning of verse 30. Verse 29, then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. Jesus meets their need. So he's approachable, he hears the cry of their heart, and he meets their need. Part of listening well is taking whatever action is required of us. Right? Part of listening well is we hear them asking us to do something, and we do it. Right? Jesus doesn't just say, as Scripture says, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. Right? He doesn't do that. The first thing Jesus does is he touches their eyes. Now, why? Let me ask it a different way. Does Jesus need to touch their eyes to heal them? No. So why does he touch their eyes? Because there is comfort in physical contact. And they're blind. Jesus is communicating to them through touch what he's about to do. Right? He's caring for them through this contact. So they've come to him, they have this care, they have this concern, and he's providing comfort. And he does that through physical means, right? Through the physical touch. And then he does it through verbal means, right? He tells them, hey, according to your faith, it's going to be done. He already asked them, do you believe that I can do this? They said, yes. So he said, touches their eyes, you're going to get what you believe, right? They already said they believed it. Their eyes are open. Here's where we're going for us. When someone comes to us with a problem or a difficulty, they do not need a lecture or a sermon. They need compassion. Jesus cares for these blind men. The question is, do we care for those who come to us? Do we care for those who come to us? As most of you know, Joseph was injured Sunday afternoon. That's why he's over here with his foot up, right? He was barefoot in the backyard, and through a series of events, a 4x4 wooden post got dropped on his foot. And one of the first things that occurred to me as his dad was, why were you moving wooden beams barefoot? I did not say that to him when he came into the house with his toes smashed and bleeding. I did not say that to him at the hospital. I did not say that to him the next day as he was in pain. We didn't talk about it until yesterday when I said, by the way, you need to wear shoes when you're moving stuff around, right? What?
I was eating lunch. I didn't think I needed shoes.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. So, why did I wait to talk to him about it, right? Because I wanted him to know that I cared about him, not about the fact that he wasn't wearing shoes, okay? I cared that he had a problem that needed attention and help, okay? So first and foremost, this is what the people in our lives need. They need to know that we care, okay? There's an old saying, it's very true and always applicable, and that is this. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. If someone comes to you and the first thing you do is lecture or sermonize, chances are they won't come to you again. Because 9 times out of 10, they already know what they need to do. Okay? What they're looking for is comfort. What they're looking for is for you to care. Right? So we need to care. Comments, questions, thoughts? All right.
Jesus knew what they wanted because he was Jesus.
Absolutely.
But I think there's times that we need to ask what that other person wants.
Yeah, absolutely. Bill?
The other thing that works for me is 9 times out of 10 when a person comes to see you and you ask them how they're doing or something to that effect, they say fine.
Yep.
And you know they're not. And I usually ask them again, now that we've talked for a little while, let me ask you this question again. How are you doing? Or,
you know, yeah.
And then they'll start to open up. But it sometimes takes a little encouragement for them to share the problem with you.
Absolutely. And that's where, right, we mentioned it takes work and patience. Right? If we're going to communicate well, we got to be patient because sometimes they're not going to just walk up to you and go, bleh, right? It's going to take a little bit. Good. Good. So we need to be approachable. We need to hear the heart. We need to address the need. Principle number 4, give clear direction. If someone comes to you and they want to know what to do, give clear direction. Look what Jesus does in the end of verse 30. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. Okay? He heals them, and then he says, don't tell anyone. There's several times in the Gospels that Jesus does this. He tells the person he healed not to tell anyone. Most of the time, they don't listen. Okay? We'll talk about that in a second. But part of listening well is our response. Okay? Communication is a two-way street, right? If someone's talking to you, don't gloss over and tune out. Right? Don't do it. I don't care how long they've been talking. I don't care if you're interested in what they're saying. People are important and they need to know that. So pay attention. If you start to gloss over, just say, can I stop you right there? I lost you. Can we go back to this point, right? Why? Because they need to know that we care, right? Yeah. And if they're talking way longer than you can pay attention to, just say, hey, can we revisit this, right? You can say, I've got something on my mind. I'm not able to focus right now, whatever. But, right, we go back to the beginning of our time, right? You need to say what you mean. You need to speak with clarity, right? So we need to do those things. So Jesus listens to them. He hears the cry of their heart. He meets their need. And now he gives them some direction. So if there is a problem to be solved, solve it. Now, don't solve the problem you think they have. Solve the problem that they told you about. This means we're listening well, and we hear what they're actually saying, and we're not just saying what we think they need to hear, right? We're saying what, we're responding to what they have shared. Does that make sense? So, again, we have to listen to know what action to take or direction to give. If we only hear half of the information, our response is not going to be correct, right? Jesus is clear in his direction. One of the things that happened when we were at the emergency room with Joseph is they gave me a packet of information to take home about caring for his wound and his toe. The problem is we got home and found out that everything was so chaotic at the ER that night that it was not complete and had not been filled in. Okay? So we ended up having to take Joseph to a second doctor so we could know what we were supposed to do with this situation. We need to make sure that we're clear, right? When someone brings something to us, whatever it is, and we have truly listened to them, we will be able to clearly articulate the steps that need to be taken. Our direction needs to be clear. We also need to be clear about what we're going to do, right? If they've asked us to do something, respond with what you're going to do. So people know we have listened when our response is clear. Has anybody else ever tried to get out of a situation by giving kind of a generic response because you weren't really listening? Anybody? Did that work really well? Usually they see through it, right? And so, listen, if you didn't get it, say, hey, can we back up and start this again, right?
They do it because they can't hear.
Yeah, and if you can't hear, tell someone that, right? So when I was 20, I blew out my right eardrum scuba diving, okay? So what that means is, in situations like this, when we're sitting in here and there's a lot of noise, I can't hear what you're saying. So I read lips. So if you see me staring at your mouth, it's not because you have something in your teeth, it's because I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Okay? So I have to tell people that sometimes because they'll see me watching their mouth and I can see they're getting a little uncomfortable, right? And I'll say, no, I can't hear you in it when there's a lot of ambient noise, right? So I have to do that. So I've had to adapt. Why? So that I can hear them. But if I don't hear it or I can't read their lips, I have to say that. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Can you please repeat that?
How did you handle all these masks?
All the masks? Not very well. There were times where I had to like put my ear like this, especially when they put the dividers up and the mask. That was rough. Okay? Couldn't hear them half the time.
Yeah.
So, I know as I get older, I'm going to have a lot of hearing issues, I'm sure. So, my poor ears.
Whispers.
What? I'm kidding. We can hear whispers.
You do. You hear good.
When it's quiet, I can hear no problem. When there's other noise,
yeah,
it just messes it up.
Or people turn their head away and talk.
Yeah, we have to deal with that, huh? Wait till you talk to us, not the floor. All right, any comments or questions on clear direction? All right, be approachable, hear the heart, address the need, give clear direction. There's one more issue here, and that is that listening well needs to go both ways. So here's our final principle. Be gracious. What does that mean? Be gracious. Look at verse 31. Verse 31, but when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all the country. Jesus is very clear. Don't tell anyone. What do? They tell everyone, right? How many of us have had a friend like that? Right? We've all had this happen where we've told someone, don't tell anyone. And then the next day we're like, was there anyone you didn't tell, right? Because it seems like everyone knows. Right? So sometimes, even when we listen well, we are not listened to. Okay? These men did not listen to Jesus. He warns them. He says, don't tell anyone. They do it anyway. Here is a lesson for all of us from this. Acting in deliberate opposition to what others say always damages relationships. When someone says something and we do the exact opposite, that always damages the relationship. Doesn't matter if it's a family relationship, a friend relationship, a church relationship. If we do the opposite, it's going to damage the relationship. Okay? This goes for everyone in a situation. Be very careful to listen well and to act accordingly. When someone does the opposite of what we have said, there's nothing you can do about it. The action has already been taken. So what do we need to do as children of God, as believers in Jesus Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ? Let it go. Let it go. Right? Don't wait for the I told you so moment.
Yeah.
Don't we do that? Well, I told them to do this and they didn't, and I am just waiting because when this blows up in their face, I'm going to get to say, ha! I told you so. Don't do it. It is not worth it because it's going to damage the relationship. It's going to bring conflict. Right? Be gracious.
Be prepared to help them pick up the
pieces. Be prepared to help them pick up the pieces and move forward. That's grace, by the way. Jesus did not allow this to end his ministry. Jesus didn't say, well, those blind guys didn't listen to me, so I'm not going to heal any more blind people. Right? Can't trust those blind guys. Jesus didn't do that. Right? He kept right on ministering. And when it comes to relationships, this is what we do. Right? Now, I'm speaking generally, right? Because there are extreme situations where someone may contradict something we've said, and it may be a work situation or something where we do have to take a different action. That does happen, okay? We're talking about in the context of normal interactions that are part of a relationship. So disagreements and ignored advice should not end relationships. Disagreements and ignored advice should not end relationships. Jesus' disciples often did not hear what he was saying, right? They heard him, but they didn't really listen. And Jesus didn't throw them under the bus. Jesus didn't say, well, I'm done with you. I'm finding a new 12 because you guys are dumber than a bag of rocks, right? No, he didn't do that. A box of rocks. I don't know what they would have. They probably would have had a bag. So, what Jesus didn't, he kept ministering, right? He kept engaging in the relationships even when they didn't listen. And that's what we are supposed to do as well. This is especially true when it comes to family and our church family. Just because they didn't do what you think they should have done doesn't mean you get to cut them off. Well, I told you, off you go. I don't want anything else to do with you, right? If you're not going to listen to me, as if we're all knowing. I mean, I've made a couple of mistakes, so I may have given them wrong advice, right? We are all going to disagree on things. And here's the thing. Most disagreements that we have are insignificant, right? Especially in the light of eternity. Most disagreements we have are insignificant, especially in the light of eternity. Right? Some of the disagreements we see in Scripture got reconciled later on. One of the most famous ones is Paul and Barnabas. Right? Later on down the road, Paul says, hey, bring Mark. That guy's profitable. You know why Mark's profitable? Because Barnabas spent extra time with him. Right? Paul didn't say that, but that's implied. Most of our disagreements are not that significant. And if we're ending relationships over things like that, we're going to stand before one day, before Christ. And I picture him going, what was the point of that? I gave you this relationship. I gave you someone that you could invest in, someone that you could learn from. And you just, because you got upset? Right? We need to be very careful with things like that. That's all I got. I have one more slide, but so anything, any questions, any comments, any corrections?
Well, I would say that Jesus, obviously being God, he knew human nature. Mm. And human nature is when you tell someone, a sinful human nature, when you tell someone, don't do something, what's the first thing we want to do?
Step on the grass.
So, I mean, I think there is an element where by saying don't do this, it made them want to tell everyone. I mean, they're healed. I mean, some, yeah, they're seeing the world that they never saw before. I think they'd want to tell people.
And yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's other times where it's told, he tells someone, don't tell anyone, and because they tell everyone, it says he could no longer minister in that area,
yeah,
right? We could go off on a rabbit trail. We'll just mention the rabbit trail, and then you can go off on it on your own. Jesus never tells us anything without purpose or intention. And so even when we don't like what he says, we need to trust that he did it for a good reason.
Would there, I'm surprised they didn't ask why.
Yeah. You know. And yeah, we don't know. They didn't say anything. This is a Johnism. What I picture is I picture them going, okay, and then walking out, hey! I can see! Right? Mm. We don't know if that's how it happened, but it sure seems like it.
Yeah, I'm thinking that maybe they didn't even hear him say that. Because they were so overjoyed that they could see.
Could be. Yeah, it very well could be. Yeah. So we have observed what Jesus did. Our last thing is to copy what Jesus did. And so the last thing is this.
Keep it up.
To be someone who listens well, what changes do I need to make? Right. If we're going to be someone who listens well, what changes do we need to make?
Someone had a question at the moment.
What's up, bud?
It might also be obvious if you knew the person to see that they were
pale. Yeah, it's true. If someone that you've known their whole life is blind and all of a sudden they can see, you're probably going to notice. Good point.
Or can't walk or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the guy who's walking and leaping and praising God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Pastor, I think the other thing is that a person needs to be careful of when they're in this position, they're giving counsel. It's always helpful to cite the scripture because it doesn't matter what your opinion is, but if the Bible says something, they can't argue with that.
Yeah.
If they do, it's between them and the Lord.
Absolutely. Yeah, we need to always... Well, that's why I do what I do, right? I say, this is a Johnism. It's not scripture, okay? We need to be clear on that. And if something is scripture, we say, well, this is what God's word says. The end, right? And you can argue with that, but then you're arguing with God, and that's you're not going to win, right? Where if it's my opinion, so what? And so we need to be very careful with that. And one of the things with that is to choose our battles, so to speak, right? Don't go to war with someone over your opinion, okay? If you're going to break a relationship, only do that if it's something that Scripture tells you to demands that you break a relationship over, right? And sometimes we break relationships with people over things that Scripture says don't really matter, right? We need to be careful of that. Good. All right.